Intel is back at Computex. Meta decides Apple's not charging enough. And NVIDIA, this is their end game. They're going to nickel and dime you. Let's get into the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news that I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Friday, March 8th, 2024. We're going to start off today talking about Intel's return to the show of Computex. As far as I'm aware, they haven't been there since they tried to show off a 5 gigahertz 28-core CPU that was running on a chiller that was hidden under the stage. Well, now they're back. CEO Pat Gelsinger is going to be there on June 4th to talk about a lot of stuff that Intel has coming up. It will take place after AMD's keynote, which is taking place on June 3rd, but Intel likely going to be talking about AI, more AI, potentially some more AI, and also we're expected to get our first little debut of the Arrow Lake architecture that's supposed to be coming out to desktops later on this year to replace everything that we've been on since Alder Lake. But of course, don't forget that you likely will be getting more AI, because that's what you need. And what Nikon needed, turns out, was to just buy another camera company. We don't typically cover camera news, but this is a big shakeup in the industry. Nikon announcing that Red is going to be one of their subsidiaries. They're folding it into the company. Red, known for making digital cinema cameras that work on major motion pictures, Marvel films, as well as running the MKBHD channel. Linus had Red cameras for a little while, tried to water cool one, but now they're being acquired, with Nikon saying that they're going to draw from Red's knowledge in cinema cameras, including unique image compression technology and color science. So Nikon trying to bolster its image, just kind of in the influencer space, like the YouTube, TikTok, you know, anybody who's buying a mirrorless camera. Nobody's really kind of looking at Nikon for what they got. Mostly you're looking at Sony, Panasonic, or Canon, and even Canon's a little iffy there. So maybe we'll see them get back in the game. Nikon, as far as I'm aware, is mostly for still photography, as far as like who is still buying these cameras, but maybe this will change things pretty big in the industry. And Rivian's trying to change the EV industry. They had their announcement yesterday for their R2 SUV, which is supposed to be a shrunk down version of their R1S, but they added a little extra one more thing that they wanted to show off with their R3 platform as well. So you can see the R2, R3, and R3X, which is supposed to be a crossover SUV that Rivian's going to be coming out with. The R2 is expected to have some pretty good specs, 0 to 60 of roughly 3 seconds, starting price of 45 grand, range of over 300 miles, and potentially will qualify for the tax credit. You can put a $100 deposit down right now, but it only launches in 2026. So who knows if Rivian's going to stick to that price or how that's going to work. But from what I've seen across the internet, a lot of people are excited about this. This is a very affordable EV that's built on a good platform from a company that's already been making solid EVs. And so people are excited about the Rivian R2. I've seen a lot of people tweet out that they have put their money down for their pre-order. It's like what's already out there, just a little bit smaller. And that's exactly what they announced with the R3 as well as the R3X, just slightly smaller than the R2, with no announced price, no announced release date, and nothing really known besides the fact that they will also have the same 0 to 60 and battery range of over 300 miles, which seems to be pretty good. If these can sell between 30, 35, that would be fantastic. I really love the color. I love the aesthetic. It kind of looks a little old school, but with some modern updates. Rivian making a big splash across the EV industry, and Reese splashing deals in your face.
Yo, welcome back to Yifty Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals on the internet. I'm unfortunately a little bit sick, but it's okay because it's weekend and I know I can no live Final Fantasy VII from the couch to recover. So I have that going for me and I have these deals going for you. Starting off today with this ASRock B550 Phantom Gaming 4AC AM4 motherboard for only $89.99, making it $35 off. But then next up, we have this Acer Nitro 27-inch 1440p 180Hz IPS gaming monitor for only $169.99 with the included promo code, making it $100 off. And then lastly, we have a beefy workstation laptop from Lenovo, the ThinkPad P14S, featuring a 14-inch 2800 by 1800 OLED display, a Ryzen 7 Pro 7840U, and while I normally wouldn't recommend solid RAM on a laptop, this has 64 gigs of LPDDR5X, so I think most of you will be okay. And you can pick this up for only $999, making it $1,510 off for one heck of a workstation laptop. And hey, with that, the deals are done. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm gonna hand you off back to Brett for the rest of your hot news. Cheers.
Well, Well, Reese, Meta thinks that Apple's giving people too good of a deal. You think a 30% cut for selling stuff on Apple's App Store is expensive? Heck no, Meta's gonna one-up that. They've announced their platform fees for selling things in Meta Horizon Worlds. You wanna know about that? Well, they're gonna take the industry standard 30% cut, but that is a hardware fee for running on Meta's hardware. They're also going to charge a 17.5% platform fee, which is for using the Horizon Worlds platform. So you're getting charged by Meta on one side, you're getting charged by Meta on the other side, and when you fuse those two together, you're looking at 47.5%. Nearly half of every dollar is going to be absorbed by Zuck and everything that he's got going on there. Meta saying in an interview that they believe they have a pretty competitive rate in the market, despite the fact that Meta has come out and said that Apple's 30% is just too much. It makes it so that they can't compete. It makes it so that companies can't afford to do other things. It appears that they have no problem taking that money if it's for themselves. But speaking of taking your money, NVIDIA obviously wants to do that. They're green because they like the cash, or they absorbed her powers. I'm not exactly sure which one, but NVIDIA announcing for GeForce Now, which is their cloud gaming application, that they have new features like Cloud G-Sync, which works to bring variable refresh rate to your device, whether you're using a Mac with Apple Silicon or you're using Intel CPU, even AMD GPUs. It can all work as long as you're running it in a GeForce Now app instead of running it on a browser. So this can help, but you also have to have the most expensive version of the RTX 4080 Ultimate tier. It's a neat implementation to get variable refresh rate on cloud gaming. It's a nice little touch to potentially help smooth out some hitches and hiccups that you would have while playing it. But while they're introducing that feature, they're also introducing a nice new lucrative way to make money, which is NVIDIA's GeForce Now day passes. For the low, low price of between $4 and $8 a day, you can get upgraded to slightly better cloud gaming experiences. This is on top of the fact that recently they announced that they're going to be putting ads into their free tier. They're also going to be charging more for the day passes. Now, likely this will be if the free version you're playing on, there's a long queue to join in because free doesn't take priority. So you pay for the day pass at $4, and then you find out every single time I go to play, the servers are busy, I'll just spend another $4 and another $4. And then next thing you know it, you paid nearly $100 for not even the best tier that they have in the Ultimate. Let's say you do that for the RTX 4080 tier with the Ultimate package, and you spend $8 every single day. That's 240 bones. So they're going to squeeze you down to the $100 for 6 months, or $20 a month if you can just think ahead to do it that way. That's some ridiculousness. $20 a month, but they're going to charge you $8 a day. It just shows a lot of stuff still going to subscription. NVIDIA can potentially make money from you not owning their hardware, regardless of where you are. So they're just going to keep trying to shovel the money out of your wallets into theirs. Kyler, you trust this?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Give them $8 a day, hey?
It's expensive.
If you're poor.
You're right. Sorry.
I'm sorry, you can't afford an extra $240 a month for video games?
That's more than my car.
That's expensive. It is a lot of money. What's also a lot is everybody's comments yesterday. Woo, let's get into the comment response. I'm going to start off with the positive, which also kind of negative. We had, obviously, Rare Brew Coffee Co. We promoted that yesterday. PC Games Tech asking, when are you going to ship to Canada? And I keep seeing you advertise your coffee, and I really wanted to try it, but you don't ship to Canada. There are no plans international shipping when it comes to food and beverages and this kind of stuff. It is not a bridge that we have even looked at crossing as of yet, which I know the bridge to getting into Canada isn't very big, but that's not currently on our effective roadmap. We're sticking with the US for right now. I know it's a bummer, but we literally are just a mom and pop shop. I was packing coffee all day today. I made sure that every single order went out myself. So things like going international is going to take a little bit. But let's talk about the AMD stuff, because I clearly riled and touched a nerve. We got Ronnie coming in saying, fact check, false claim, AMD actually gained market share. AMD has certainly fielded a decent chunk of the GPU's markets recovered in Q4 2023 as a whole. Naturally, as AMD grew faster than NVIDIA, its market share increased from 90% up from 17%. I know. I mentioned that in Hot News yesterday, because the point wasn't that AMD didn't gain market share. The point is that with a brand new GPU generation, they gained market share slower than they ever have before with a brand new GPU generation. I talked about, yes, they went up to 19%. They were at 12% the year before. That is a massive increase if you don't look at every other time where it was way bigger than that. Then we got TPF saying the problem isn't that they're not competitive with NVIDIA GPUs, it's that they're not very competitive with their own last-gen GPUs, especially in the current economy. People just don't want to spend money if they don't have to. If AMD isn't offering something that's great value compared to previous-gen, there's not much of a reason to upgrade to 7000 series. I think this is just an internet narrative. This is not something that's actually reflected in data. The vast majority of customers do not upgrade every single year. The fact that the RX 7000 series isn't a good upgrade from the 6000, and therefore 6000 people aren't upgrading, that's not where the majority of sales come from. Typically, PC gamers keep their components for 5 to 7 years. So the people who are looking to upgrade to RX 7000 are people who are on RX 480s, RX 580s, R9 390s. That's who AMD is trying to entice. And if the RX 6000 is a better value, AMD would still get the market share, but they're not. It's not increasing to the point where we've seen in other generations. They're not convincing the people who waited 5 years to upgrade to them. NVIDIA's pulling in more of those people. People on 780 Ti, GTX 970, they're not necessarily switching over to the RX 7000 series. It's a bummer. A lot of people got feisty with me for saying that AMD is losing this way, but I really like the 7000 series. I think it's greatly compelling. I think that they did offer things that were more compelling than the 6000 series in certain market segments, and I think they should be doing better than they are. But the truth of the matter is, despite how everybody wants to comment in my comments, it's just not happening. Then we got Delivered Mean saying, as someone that has a 7800 XT and applied for the Steam Hardware Survey a few months ago, I'm still confused as to why it still hasn't shown up yet. After all, it was a top seller when it came out. Can't be a fluke. There has to be users like me that is using Steam at least a few times, right? And the disheartening fact that people using the Steam hardware chart is gospel without fact-checking that there are incorrect numbers is saddening. Well, so part of the Steam hardware survey is that it takes a few months for them to gather the data. Like, even when the RTX 40 series came out, it didn't appear on the Steam hardware survey for months. It's not like it's an immediate thing where it gets published. But also, on the Steam hardware survey, the 4090 has more market share than the RX 7000 series overall. You combine all those together and the 4090 beats it. The singular most expensive card that people want to poo-poo and crap on. People crap on the 4080 a little bit more, but the 4090, a lot of people say, is just too expensive. They don't want to buy it. It's too much, but yet it has more market share on the Steam hardware survey, at least the last time I checked, in all of the 7000 series GPUs. That was true as of a few months ago. I'm not sure if that holds right now, but it's going to be very close. And again, just if I scroll the comments as I'm looking, so many people defending AMD, so many people talking about how much they love this company, but it doesn't play out when it comes to everybody's wallets. And it's a sad fact. It's not something I'm reporting with glee. It's not like I want NVIDIA to succeed. It's not like I think NVIDIA is doing good things. But yet, here we are. Kyle, we got to get Intel to save us.
ARC GPUs!
All right, that's enough of me being a seal. I'll seal you on Monday for more of the Haas Tech News.